prompted to go back and read something, the last five chapters. You said you guys talked about heaven. Well, today we're going to talk what's going to happen just before heaven. Okay, but I was prompted to go back and read the last five chapters of Randy Alcorn's novel, Safely Home. If you haven't got that book, please get it and read it. It's the story of a Chinese preacher who eventually became a martyr because of his testimony in China. He was part of the underground church. Yes? Well, if you don't have that, let me encourage you to get that. And if you're used to reading on your iPad or iPhone, you can get it with Kindle for about $12. You can download it and read it, so it would be really easy to access. But what was really, really interesting about what he did, and I think Randy Alcorn's very capable of doing this. Remember, this is a novel. It's not real. It's fiction, but not fantasy. It's fiction based upon biblical principles. And Randy Alcorn wrote the book. I'm going to have to button my shirt here because I just recognized it was open. Don't want to show my hairy chest. But I've got to gear up here before and put all this gear on. But anyway, Randy Alcorn did a masterful job on heaven in his big, thick book, Heaven. If you've not read that, I would encourage you to do so. And he does a really, really, really good job about talking about heaven. So he's done the research. But in this book, Safely Home, in the last five chapters, the Chinese preacher loses his life. And Randy Alcorn takes his knowledge of Scripture and takes that Chinese preacher from there to meet Jesus, to heaven, and to the end of all things. Again, fictitious, but not fantasy. It's based upon his thoughts. And I tell you what, if you don't have a clear picture of heaven, you need to read that, because it will blow your mind, the picture that he paints. And my guess is, even what Randy Alcorn paints is nowhere even close to what heaven is going to be like. The Bible says it has not even entered into the heart of mankind what God has prepared for those who love him. So even Randy Alcorn can't even get close, okay? But that's a pretty good job. So I would encourage you to get that book and read it. And you know what? As we talk about heaven and eternity and things like that, if you're a Christian, you will experience that. It's guaranteed. You will experience that. And the interesting thing, the idea and concept of heaven motivated the church for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But you won't find a lot of Christians today that are motivated by the concept of heaven. And I think the reason is we've dumbed it down so far. Christians have a tendency of doing that, dumbing down their belief to where it's more palatable to people around them. But anyway, we've dumbed down heaven to where it no longer has an effect on us. And the last days. And we're going to talk about the last days today. And where I've got that is something that Jesus said that really impacted me. As I was reading through the Gospels, and I've talked to several of you about this, I was amazed where Jesus would tell people that he healed. He said, listen, don't go tell a soul. Now, you and I, We wouldn't mind if somebody would brag on what we did, but and he even told people that demons that he cast out. The demons started saying who he is, and Jesus basically said, "Shut up, keep it to yourself, don't say a word." Why? Well, I personally believe he wanted to do that himself at the right time, and. So go with me, and we're going to see where he actually did that. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for Jeff and Wendy as they led this morning. Thank you for Grant Abbott doing the things that he does, and Gail teaching in Scripture. Lord, we ask that you bless their ministry. It doesn't matter what kind of barriers the devil puts in front of them. You're stronger than that. You can overcome them. So let it turn out for good, the difficulty that's going on now. So, Father, thank you that we can look at your word and get better insight into what's in our future. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is going before the Sanhedrin. It was kind of a hostile crowd, okay? He goes before the Sanhedrin, and they're trying him for blasphemy. Now, if the Sanhedrin finds you guilty of blasphemy, well, you know the story. You're going to lose your life. But anyway, he's standing before the Sanhedrin. They've got people coming by giving false accusations, and nobody is able to pin anything on Jesus. But interestingly, Jesus never responds to his false accusers at all. Why would he do that? He's looking for his time. And then the chief of the Sanhedrin looks at him at Mark chapter 14, verses 60 through 62. Let's look at the conversation. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing. How many of you and I could do that? I know, Mal. And I don't think I could either. So again, the high priest asked him, saying, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" To point blank, verse 62, Jesus said, "I am." "And you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming with clouds of heaven." Talking about getting it out there, he was telling everybody else, "You don't say a word. Basically, I'm going to do that at the right minute." So he spills the beans. He tells everybody, "I am the Messiah, and I will be coming back on clouds of glory one day." Well, if you were the Sanhedrin, the response would be expected. So, verse 63, "Then the high priest tore his clothes and said," interesting, they tear their clothes, isn't it? "Tore his clothes and said, 'What further need do we have of witness? That you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?' And they all condemned him to be deserving of death." Wow. Quite an interaction. But keep in mind, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. It was at the appropriate time he said it. But I want you to look at what he said. "And you," I love this, he's speaking to the high priest, which you don't talk back to this guy. It's not good for your health. Jesus says, "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with clouds of glory." So Jesus just claimed, "Hey, listen, old boy, you're going to see me splitting the sky wide open." No wonder the chief priest got upset. So they condemned him to die, and he died. Of course, what they didn't expect, 3 days later, we know what happened. So Jesus was coming, said he's coming back in the clouds of glory. So what's going on here? Was Jesus confused? Was he a little delirious because of the pressure that was going on? Did he know what he was talking about? Another question, well, has it already happened? Well, I don't see anywhere in history where somebody coming back in clouds of glory, so what Jesus said here still must be in our future, right? And if that's true, what Jesus said has huge ramifications for you and me. Jesus will return in clouds of glory one day. I mean, we get all up in the air about everything that's going on in the world, but the truth of the matter is, Jesus is going to come back one day, and he is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there will be no argument. That's who we serve, folks. Randy Alcorn paints a pretty vivid picture about this, and about swords swinging and everything like that, and the saints have to just sit and watch. So if you want to get into the fray, no, Jesus is going to do it all himself. But what about this response? He said, I'm going to be coming back in clouds of glory. What about that? What does it mean? What does it look like? Well, fortunately for us, if you read through the Gospels, you've already read it. And today we're going to read it. Mark chapter 13, verse... Well, actually, we're going to look through the whole chapter today, and we're going to let Jesus explain what is coming leading up to his return, all right? Now, we could spend months and months and months on this, but guess what? We're going to get done with it today. So I'm going to read it and make a few comments, all right? Mark 13, verse number 1, and as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what a wonderful buildings, he said, about the temple. They were proud of the Jewish temple. But Jesus kind of busted his bubble. He said, do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. In about 50 years from Jesus, after the time that Jesus said that, that happened. The Romans came in, totally obliterated the temple, annihilated it in the Jewish faith, and boom, no longer did they have a temple. So that took place. Verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, let's stop. Who is Peter, James, and John? With disciples. Not only disciples, but they're the inner core. They're the one to focus most of the scriptures on. Peter, James, and John came and asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? So the disciples asked Jesus what's coming in the future. Why is that important? We've been talking about being a disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus needs to know what's coming. So let's let Jesus tell us. Verse 5. And Jesus began to say to them, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name saying, I am he. And they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Let's stop. Are we hearing of wars and rumors of wars? What do? We get all agitated, right? What did he say? Don't be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. For there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. And we're seeing all of those things. It's just the beginning. Verse 9. This is important. But be on your guard. For they will deliver you over to councils and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. and the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. Right now in the history of mankind, the gospel is being preached in more places than ever before. There are very, very few places that have not heard the gospel. So this is coming to a reality. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his children, and the children will rise against parents and have them put to death. This is not a good time. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. All right. We won't get into the theological ramifications of that right there, but it sure doesn't sound like a good time. Would you agree? Okay. Some say this is called a tribulation text. I know that's what Ken is thinking. I know that to be sure. I agree. It is a tribulation text, okay? That's when things get really, really rough. Let's continue reading in verse number 14. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not be, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Well, who's this abomination of desolation? It's the Antichrist. And you know, Jesus gives us some really good information about the Antichrist. Are you ready for it? He called him a he. It's a person. And so many people today are telling us that it is a system or an organization. No, it's a person. How do we know? He's a he. Now, I'm kind of making a little out of that, but folks, this is serious because you can be misled if you're listening to the wrong people. They'll rewrite it all and make this look like some organization is going to do it. But it's a person, and the person is an Antichrist. And if you go to Revelation, his number is 666. It's a person. So don't let anybody else tell you differently, all right? Got that one settled? A little bit of Bible college study right here, all right? It's a person. And whatever he's going to do, he's going to come into the Jewish temple, and he is going to desecrate the temple. In other words, he's going to do something really, really bad in the temple. Well, there was a guy way back, he went into the Jewish temple, and I think he sacrificed a pig in the temple. Well, that would be desecrating, but that was 100 years before Jesus. What Jesus is talking about is future. So it's going to happen again. We have a problem. There's no temple. What's that? I know. And it's designed to go up pretty quickly. So what does that say? It's pretty close. You can look up, folks, because your redemption draw. Well, let's not get into that. Jesus continues. Verse 15, let the one who is on the housetop not go down, nor enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that it may not be in winter. Good idea. For in those days there will be such tribulation as not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now and never will be. Folks, let me just give you Tony's interpretation of that. It's never been that bad, and it never will be that bad again. That's why it's called tribulation. And Jesus said these things are in the future. So folks, we got some pretty bad stuff in the future here. Verse 20, and if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. It was that bad. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. Jesus didn't pull any punches, did he? He laid it out there. But remember, he's talking to his disciples, telling them what's coming. All right? All right, let's let Jesus continue, verse 21. And then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, and look, there he is, do not believe it. You know, we know that there's been a lot of people through history who've come back and said, I'm the Christ. What did Jesus say to do with those people? Ignore them. It takes their power away. Verse 22, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard, I have told you all these things beforehand. Folks, this is important to us. Everybody ready? It doesn't matter what you see on YouTube or on a DVD or on TV. There's a lot of false prophets out there who are trying to set themselves up as something when reality they're powered by the other side. And they may look good, but the Bible says that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light that looks good. He says, be aware, don't fall for it. Be careful what you see. Okay? Be careful what you fall for. That's why he told us that they're coming. I know we're running through this, but do you see the value of a lot of this stuff today? I mean, so many things, particularly on the internet, look so attractive. Be careful, or you're going to be duped. Okay? Let's continue, verse 24. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Oh boy. Can you even imagine that? Can you even imagine that? Folks, this is not going to be good. Verse 26, and then, pay close attention, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. You see how that connected to what Jesus said to the Sanhedrin? It's the same thing. Jesus is returning in the clouds of glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Jesus will return. And I don't want to be in front of him. I want to be behind him. But there's something else that's going to happen. That's not the end of the story. But before we get into that, I'm going to say, when will these things happen? You stole my thunder. But you're spot on, Wendy. Let's let Jesus tell us, okay? Mark chapter 13, verse 32 and 33, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Now, folks, even in the last few years, there have been people trying to put a finger on when it's going to happen. Have you read it? Even in the last couple of years? I mean, godly people, presumably, are trying to say, all right, Jesus is going to come here. Let me tell you the best thing to do with people who say that. Mark them. Now, I'm being harsh for a reason. Mark them as false prophets. I don't care who they are. Anybody that would set the date for Jesus to return is, without question, a false prophet, because Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. You see how easy this is to know? Don't be duped by all the rubbish that's coming out, even though it looks good. We can go to the scriptures, and the scriptures will tell us clearly what to believe. He says, no, nobody knows, so if they say it, they're false. Okay? Is that clear for everybody? Boy, that helps us weed through a lot of stuff on the internet, doesn't it? Okay. So we should be excited about the return of Jesus, right? Are we? But there's a lot of people who are not. There's a lot. You and I are, and I saw a few heads going like this, but there's a lot of people that are really not excited about it at all. I'll let you come up for your own reason for that. Yeah, but you see, I'm not scared of let me finish what I'm talking about, all right? Folks, we should be excited that Jesus is coming. We should be excited about it. But the reason a lot of people are not excited about it is because we've dumbed it down again. And the vast majority of people that you talk to have turned the second coming of Jesus into fantasy. It doesn't even come up in the radar screen. But it doesn't matter what people think. It's going to happen. Well, that's all the teaching that Jesus did on that. But there's another man comes on the scene that fills out the picture just a little bit more. He just happens to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And we're going to read what the apostle Paul said that is soon coming, all right? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. Now keep in mind that Paul is speaking to, can anybody tell me who he's speaking to? The church. Paul is speaking to the church. Anybody here in the church? So Paul's speaking to us. You ready for what he says? Behold, I tell you a mystery. Let's stop. Paul is getting ready to tell us something that nobody in the Old Testament knew about. None of the gospel writers knew about. He's going to tell us something that was revealed to him for the church. You ready for this? He said, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Anybody ready for that? Now, I don't know how fast the twinkling of an eye is. I can't count that quick. But similar to something like that, all right? And we're all, as Christians, we're going to be changed. I mean, it's gone. Right. You don't even say, oh, it's over. We're out of here. That sounds pretty fast to me. And it sounds very familiar to something else the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4. Go with me there. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So it sounds to me like those in the church, you and I who are Christians, we're going to hear a shout, we're going to hear a trumpet, and we're going to be out of here. And we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Anybody want to keep saying ever and ever and ever? I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. We'll be with the Lord. Anything wrong with being with the Lord? I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm somebody who likes adventure. Can you imagine what it's going to be like being with the Lord for eternity? No, we're not going to be floating around on clouds playing harps. So what are we going to be doing? Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for us. So is it any wonder that we should be excited about these things? And he's going to wrap it all up. It's going to be a done deal. So we're going to hear a shout, hear a trumpet, boom, we're out of here. Some people are saying, I don't really like to hear this. Well, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Why would he say that? If you were a Christian going through persecution, this would be comforting for you. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. What I just told you about hearing a shout, hearing a trumpet, we're out of here to be with the Lord. Unfortunately, there's very, very few people you will hear teach this. Right, Ken? Very few people will teach this. A lot of people don't believe in the great catching away of the saints. They don't believe the Bible.
That's wrong.
But you see, that's it. But you'll not, we call it the rapture of the church, which means catching away. You won't hear this from a lot of people. So folks, be encouraged. One of these days we're going to hear a shout. We're going to hear a trumpet. We're going to be gone. Forever to be with the Lord. Well, what earthly good is that for us to know? Yeah, he's coming. Well, let me just tell you what, and I'll be done. Are you going through a rough patch? Are you going through maybe some physical adversity? Maybe some tension around? Maybe in the family, maybe in the community. Maybe you're going through some emotional pain, physical pain. Maybe life is not turning out the way you want it to. Well, be encouraged. There's better days coming. Say that with me. There's better days coming. So when you're having a bad day, look up to the sky and say, there's better days coming. And one of these days, I'm going to experience something far and above than I can even imagine. Now, folks, I know that sounds like pie in the sky, but no, that's me and I in the sky. That means we're going to be with Jesus, and everything's going to turn out all right. Now, this is important. That promise belongs to those who have placed their confidence and trust in Jesus Christ. Have you done that? And if you have not, you can do that today. Sometime during the day, I would like to encourage you. Even now, I'd love to lead you in prayer. I want you to get with the Lord. Tell him, listen, world's going to go crazy here one day, and I want to be on your side. I know you died for me. You did for me. And he rose again to give us life. In the verse that most of us know, for whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's for you. It's for you. Have you done that? If you have, listen for a shout or a trumpet. Then the politics won't matter here anymore. Donald Trump won't matter anymore. Global warming won't matter anymore. Because it's all going to be, we're going to be with Him. It's going to be a good thing. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I know this has been a bit different, but it was something that you taught specifically. You said that the world situation, once these things begin to happen, will not improve. They will progressively get worse and worse and worse. And over the last 20 years, I think we're heading that way. But there's enough things that's been happening over the last 10, 20 years that we can see the signs getting in place. Some things can happen now that could not have happened 50 years ago. So looking at the signs, we're much closer to the end of the age than we have been. But thank you, Lord, that we know that you have it all under control. And we're trusting you for the outcome. Not me. Not our political system. Not anybody in this world. We're trusting you, the one who designed the future. And we want to be with you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say this with me. Better days are coming. Better days are coming. Everybody have a great week.